Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, Avoid the Pitfalls in Designing a Multi-Core Safety Critical Avionics System. I'm your moderator, Brandon Lewis, with today's speaker, Kevin Jonas-Drask of Wind River. Before we start, I'd like to briefly introduce Mr. Jonas-Drask, who's a principal technologist at Wind River working in the Professional Services Division. He has more than 30 years of experience developing embedded software for aerospace systems and has developed certifiable software for systems such as commercial jet engine controllers, radar processors, and UAV flight controllers. Now, before we begin, there are a few housekeeping items to address, starting with the features of your viewing console. The Enlarge Slides button will maximize the presentation slides to fill your entire screen. Second, the Download Slides button will allow you to download and print the slides if you prefer to follow along with a hard copy. Next, the Forward to a Friend button enables you to send an email that includes a registration link to this eCast so that friends and colleagues can also attend. The Ask a Question text box allows you to participate in the event by simply typing your question into the box and hitting the Submit Question button below. You can submit questions at any time during the course of the presentation, and we encourage you to do so early and often while reviewing the material. We will address as many of these questions as possible during the closing Q&A, and also if you have a question regarding the eCast operation itself, you can submit those as well, and one of our technicians will be happy to assist you. One final note before we begin, just a reminder that all Open Systems Media eCasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded without prior permission. Now to hand it off to our speaker, take it away, Kevin.
Thank you, Brandon. My name, as we've mentioned at the beginning, is Kevin Jonas-Drask. I'm a principal technologist at Wind River. I've been involved in certifiable systems for several decades and have seen an evolution over time from the federated systems of the early time to the integrated modular architectures that we see currently, and as we're heading forward into multi-core systems and putting more and more functionality into the single processor chips. This webinar is going to focus on those multi-core systems as they're going to be used in safety-critical avionics systems. Safety-critical meaning that a failure of this system could cause some type of property damage or injury, and the avionics system is a focus as described by the FAA requirements in DO-178C. What I mean by a pitfall is a hidden or unsuspected danger or difficulty. And what I want to try to do is let you know and understand what those pitfalls are so that, first of all, you know what they are, and second of all, you can start to learn how you can go about avoiding them. So the real first question is, why is safe multi-core design hard to do? We've had the introduction of the integrated modular architecture, which put multiple different levels of safety criticality onto a single processor core. And this is the next evolution of that step. The big difference here, though, is that with multi-core, you have true simultaneous execution of tasks. With integrated modular architecture, you could separate the tasks by time division separation, which means that a given task or a given application would have complete and total ownership of the CPU and resources during its execution time. When you get to multi-core, that's no longer true. So, for example, if you were doing something in a single-core system, you would be able to disable interrupts, and that process would guarantee that no other functionality was occurring that would cause an interference with a software-level operation. With multi-core, if you disable interrupts on a single core, you will still have operations going on a separate core that could be using shared data that is critical to the operation of the overall system. That's one aspect of this true simultaneous execution that makes multi-core design a little bit harder. There's a key issue associated with resource contention in a multi-core system. The systems on chip that currently house multiple cores, 2, 4, 8, or more, have interconnects that make shared elements part of the overall aspect of the system design. So now, instead of this time division separating out this resource usage and allocation, we have a circumstance where you can have a resource that's being used by one CPU core. Another core could be using a different aspect of that resource, but since it's going through this shared element, there would be an impact in the execution of the first core caused by activities on the second core. So what does that mean? Why is that a problem? Well, one of the key issues that produces is an increase in your variance of timing. Some of the features that exhibit this would be shared cache elements and shared interconnect structures. These are very common elements of multi-core system-on-chips development. Thirdly, there's very limited access to the internal design data of the CPU chip itself. Vendors like Intel, Freescale, don't want to publish some of the details of what their design is, how it works, how they've optimized their system. And that is contrary to the ability to analyze the effects of the operation of those shared resources within the system. So without having access to that internal information, it makes it very difficult to be able to say, I'm going to guarantee access to this resource when you don't know what's going on under the hood. Furthermore, if you have a change in the processor chip itself by the vendor, the internal microcode may change and your system behavior could become significantly different without any change to software or other aspects of your hardware design. So without that access to that internal information, you have to understand and realize that there will be aspects of your system hardware design that you cannot control and you may not be able to effectively analyze. With the current development of these multi-core CPUs, we are seeing a higher and higher density of features on silicon. And those features are getting smaller and smaller. We're talking 14 nanometers of size. Why does that cause a problem or a concern? It's not specific to multi-core, but it does affect multi-core in certain ways. Single event upsets are occurrences where some element of that CPU chip can be affected by, say, cosmic rays and alter the behavior of that particular device. Because the feature sizes are so much smaller, the possibility of causing an upset and some event causing a deviation in the expected behavior, that has to be accounted for in your overall system design and how you handle the features and faults in within the system. So there's a lot more time and effort involved in understanding, first of all, what the possible impacts are and then mitigating those impacts. Finally, we need to address the certification guidelines. DO-178C is the guiding principles for software design, DO-254 for hardware design in the U.S. From the FAA. Those documents don't really specifically address multi-core issues. In the conventional application of DO-254 to a multi-core device is difficult, if not impossible, again, primarily because of the lack of the availability of that internal information. CAS32 is a document and the European EASA MULCORS document. Those documents were written fairly recently to address multi-core issues. They're very new. They're still in the process of beginning to understand what those mean and how to apply them to a certification project. And finally, the certification authorities have very limited understanding and experience with these documents, as well as the issues that you will run into in multi-core. So you will want to be able to understand and approach the mechanisms and processes and help your certification authorities understand them as well and how you have managed to assert with certainty that you have a system that meets the safety requirements for that particular system. So there are a variety of roles that are involved in the process of performing a multi-core certification. The silicon vendor is the provider of the hardware, but also will be a key partner in providing information about the internal behavior and capabilities and functions of that piece of hardware. In some cases, it will be critically important to get information that is not publicly available to support the certification of that particular device. Your systems integrator is the one who wants to make sure that the overall elements and pieces tie together. In most cases, it makes sense to have an operating system, and your operating system supplier will provide an operating system that is going to meet the multi-core objectives for safety. And again, that then gets laid on underneath as a bedrock for moving on to your application level implementation of what you want to have happening. And finally, you've got the certification authority who's be using the certification plans to look at what is the process that the system integrator is going to go through to accomplish and verify that safety objectives have been met. So some of the data packages that are involved here for software would be the DO-178 certification evidence package, but that does need to address issues and concerns for the aspects of CAS 32 that have to be satisfied. One of the critically important pieces is going to be a robust partitioning analysis. You need to ensure that the system design, the configuration, the implementation will provide assurance that the partitioning is accomplished and met in all cases. You need to get the system on chip errata information from your silicon vendor to be able to address those characteristics and behaviors that are not as specified in the intended documentation and the behaviors that have to be mitigated by one mechanism or another. Determinism is a key aspect of the system design and safety certification. You will need to have worst case execution timing processes for testing and analysis to provide assurance that your variances and your timing will meet the requirements of your system. Vulnerability analyses are applicable to, for example, an operating system where the developer of the operating system doesn't have complete control over the usage of that particular operating system. So a vulnerability analysis by an operating system supplier will tell you features and aspects of your system design that have to be satisfied in order to ensure that the capabilities of the operating system will continue to meet the safety requirements. Finally, I've already mentioned that your system-on-chip design technical data may be required to support your certification process. All right, so when you're doing multi-core design, you have a set of different choices to deal with. And your system architecture that you have to consider would be whether or not you're using asymmetric or symmetric multiprocessing. Asymmetric multiprocessing, you would have a unique instance of an operating system associated with each core. With symmetric multiprocessing, you effectively have a single operating system that makes use of multiple cores. If you have as multiple cores, you may have the same operating system executing on all those cores, or in some cases, you may choose to have different operating systems running on different cores. One example of that would be a system where you have a real-time operating system running on one core and a Linux operating system running on a different core. That's part of your architectural decision. If you have legacy applications, you will need to consider what are you going to do, how are you going to approach using that legacy application within your system framework. In some cases, you will have to determine whether or not you want to have an approach that uses a single level of safety in your system, or if you want to aggregate a set of functionality, some systems having higher levels of safety requirements than other systems, and how that affects your system architecture choices and decisions. Finally, there's the aspect of security, which is not, by security what I mean is the assurance of the integrity of information as well as the assurance that users or the visibility of information is limited to those users that are permitted access to that information. So those kinds of architecture choices affect the decision-making of how you approach your overall system design. One of the easiest first steps in a system is to rehost your existing system onto a multi-core processor chip. So the diagram here is showing an example. In this particular case, it's a VxWorks 653 application system with three different partitions, and those three different partitions have different safety levels. The flight mission application is at level B, the flight display application at level A, and the weather radar application at level C. This implementation can actually be implemented in a way that uses existing processes and technologies, assuming that you disable cores 1, 2, and 3. You effectively have, at that point, a unicore execution environment that is comparable to a VxWorks 653 system on a single processor core. It guarantees robust partitioning by using time and space partitioning. The time partitioning occurs by the underlying operating system time schedule that allocates a limited duration of time to each application in sequence. The space partitioning is guaranteed using the memory management unit of the processor itself to ensure that accesses from one application cannot interfere with the accesses or memory space in the other applications. Again, this allows a single application to execute at a particular point in time, which is the equivalent of a single core system. If you then take the step of you have a higher requirement for performance and you can achieve that by moving one of your applications to a different core. So in the redeploy case, you can have greater performance by using less of core zero, by removing the weather radar application from core zero and applying it to core one. In this case, you will need to provide assurance that the operations that are occurring on the level C application will not interfere with the applications that are simultaneously running in core zero at level A and at level B. So this is a common approach to a mechanism of redeploying part of your application to another core in order to achieve a higher level of throughput or a higher level of performance. If you continue on in this scheme, what you may want to do next is incorporate additional applications into your system. So you would be then adding in additional applications, possibly into the existing cores that have applications, or you can add them to cores that are inactive at that point in time. Whenever you add in an additional application or core, that's going to require analysis, detailed understanding, and configuration to assure that you are accomplishing and meeting all of your safety requirements. All right. So how do you avoid these pitfalls that I've outlined so far? First of all, it is crucial that you start with a certifiable multi-core operating system. That gives you a bedrock or a platform from which you can start to build in your application level implementation and utilization of the multi-core features of your system. The certifiable multi-core operating system should provide assistance in meeting some of those requirements for partitioning and for assuring separation between different aspects or different parts of your system. Again, this ties into the robustness requirements, and it ties into the vulnerability analysis to ensure that you're using it for proper usage. If you don't have multi-core certification experts within your company, then you need to either develop them or you need to get in touch with people who can provide this assistance to you to provide information and understanding of what technical hurdles you might run into, what concerns there are, and how to address the issues of safety in your implementation in your system. One of the key features that has to be addressed is that this is really a systems issue. It's not just a software issue, and it's not just a hardware issue. In order to really meet the requirements of the safety, you really have to look at the overall system. In particular, you need to consider the fact that there may be no way to guarantee the execution and operation of a particular piece of hardware under failure circumstances. So your system level needs to be able to address what happens in the event of a failure, and that could be that the system level has some instance or processing or support or capability that deals with and handles those cases of hardware failures. Resource allocation is one of the key aspects of assuring separation of processing between applications and between cores. Your operating system should support a robust method of allocating those resources, and in particular, you need to have a system where your resources are allocated essentially statically at design time or at system initialization time, and they are not dynamically modified over time. That assures that you can guarantee that the situation is not going to change over time. Simulation is a process or a tool that can be used to provide information that would be difficult to obtain from the actual hardware in the operation and behavior of your overall system. So simulation is a tool that can be support your verification activities for the system. In some cases, you may want to look at tools and processes that would help and assist with the safety analysis by automated mechanisms and tools. Fault handling, as I mentioned before, is a fairly critical aspect of your system. You need to assure that you have mechanisms for handling faults that are commonly occurred and expected, as well as those which are uncommonly occurred and generally not expected but need to be dealt with in those rare cases. Finally, it's very important to understand the objectives that are identified in the CAS 32 paper. That paper identifies a set of objectives that you'd want to meet in order to satisfy multi-core concerns addressing those safety issues. Okay, so those are some issues that you can directly and immediately start working on. I want to give a brief update here on where things are right now as far as multi-core certification goes. Multi-core certification is not impossible. Wind River has accomplished a system that's been certified with a multi-core two-processor Intel Atom CPU on a VxWorks system to a level C. This was before CAS 32 was published. One of the reasons that we were able to do this is that we were at a single assurance level and the processes and mechanisms in place were sufficient to assure that the system was working. The FAA has a set of documents that they have provided, Handbook of Selection of Microprocessors, which is the FAA report AR-11, was published in February of 2011. Now, it doesn't specifically address multi-core aspects, but it does address system-on-chip issues, and in particular, system-on-chip issues related to system configuration, where the internals of a system-on-chip behavior can be changed by modifying a register. So the hardware functionality is controlled by software registers. This is a critical aspect of systems that have to be addressed, and it's particularly important for multi-core systems and the assurance of robust separation. That document describes something called a safety net, which is make the assumption that something's going to go bad and go wrong, and how is the system going to deal with that information or that failure. In April last year, the IEEE had a meeting where they were addressing multi-core issues. The FAA did attend that meeting. For those of you who are familiar with some FAA engineering representatives, Mike DeWalt and others were there. They were discussing a little bit about CAS 32 and their approach for revising it for the future. They're currently planning to reduce some of the objectives, to reduce some of the redundancy of those objectives, but we don't expect any radical changes in that right now. That document as written is specifically addressing dual core systems, but we believe that it's fairly straightforward to extend that from dual core to 4 or 8 cores. The CAST, C-A-S-T, stands for the Certification Authority Software Team, and that's a group of individuals in a committee that are worldwide certification experts in the software area. The objectives include aspects of system determinism, the way that software works, and error handling. And in the appendix, there's a suggested set of activities for doing a multi-core design. The MULCORS report is a research report from the European Aviation Safety Agency. It's a short abbreviation of the title, which is Use of Multicore Processors in Airborne Systems. It was released in December of 2012 and addresses some of the concerns that have to be considered as you are selecting a multicore processor and using it within an airborne system. So those are the current status update. Wind River itself is in the process of certifying our VxWorks 653 3.0 operating system as a multi-core operating system. And we have developed our set of plans. We have developed the software. It is in the process now of being used as a platform for developing multi-core safety systems at some vendors, and we are working with the FAA authorities to accomplish the certification. So we are now learning and implementing all of the objectives that, and we're learning the pitfalls and avoiding those pitfalls as we move forward on our certification for that particular operating system. All right. So if you have additional questions or want to get some additional information from Wind River, I would encourage you to contact either your Wind River account manager or John Bliss, who is a solutions architect within Wind River in the Aerospace and Defense Group. And his job is to identify mechanisms and tools and processes that will support a customer in understanding the issues and pitfalls and problems and helping avoid those problems in a particular system. Okay, thanks very much. Back to you, Brandon.
Thanks, Kevin. Some good insight there on integrating multi-core processors into safety-critical avionics. That brings us into the Q&A portion of the event. We ask that you, the audience, keep those questions coming, and we'll get to as many of them as we have time for today. Kevin, there's a question here about processor architecture. What processor architecture would Wind River recommend for a DALA multi-core system, and why choose that one?
That's a great question. There are a couple of considerations for a multi-core processor. There are different variations of multi-core. The preferred multi-core system, from my point of view, would be one that includes a hypervisor, and in particular, a Freescale T2080 or CoreIQ type system or CPU would be very low risk. That is the processor, the T2080 is the processor that Wood River is currently developing our certification artifacts for, so they will be available as the first out-of-the-box system certification process. Next after that from Wind River will be the P4080 and the P3041, as those are currently supported by our operating system, but the artifacts will be somewhat later. Further from that would be Intel and then ARM processors after that.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Here's a question on the 653.3.0. How would Wind River recommend customers go about investigating costs and risks and schedules as it as it applies to 653.3.0?
Right. Great question. We have a process within our company that provides assistance to people to get what we call a solution assessment. So John Bliss would be the first person to contact or your Wind River account manager to address the question of setting up a solution assessment. A solution assessment is a process that Wind River would provide to the customer to allow a deep insight into what the system is for Wind River and for Wind River to provide this deep insight into multi-core certification aspects and issues and match those two together in a way that would provide the kind of information that would be that would help you avoid the pitfalls as a company would move forward into a multi-core system.
Time for one more question here. Just to hammer it home, will Wind River VxWorks and Wind River OSs work for a specific processor or multiple processor architectures?
Wind River does supply operating systems for a variety of different processors. There are different questions or issues that have to be addressed for each individual CPU core. So for in the case of a Freescale processor, there are a variety of different CPU cores. We will support a variety of different CPU cores. As I mentioned, the T2080 has an E6500 core. The P4080 has an E500MC core. So those types of processors will be supported. We are looking at the future of supporting Intel processors as well as ARM processors in that environment.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of our time today. I want to thank you, Kevin Jones-Drask of Wind River, for walking us through the implementation of multi-core processors and safety-critical avionics applications. We at Open Systems Media and Wind River would also like to thank you, the audience, for attending today and contributing some excellent questions remotely. For those questions we didn't have time to get to, Kevin and his team will be sure to follow up. One last note for those of you who are looking to improve on your embedded designs, Wind River is among one of the sponsors of this year's Open Systems Media Embedded TechCon, which will be held in conjunction with the Design Automation Conference in June, the 8th through the 10th at the Moscone Center in San Francisco. First 50 attendees to attend three or more classes will receive a complimentary development tools, including hardware evaluation boards and dev kits and access to visualization tools. So if you'd like to check that out, there's more information available at embeddedtechcon.com. That's all one word, embeddedtechcon.com. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast will be made available there as well. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded space e-cast and find all of Open Systems Media's eCast available there for download as MP3s. Thanks for attending, and have a great day.